Thank God we are almost home. If you have your Bibles, Revelation 11, I want to say thank you for Brother David and Brother Chucky. I have figured out something. If you want to be happy, stay in the field. Some of y'all get that later on. Amen. Thank God for good people that can fill the pulpit. Amen. Let me say something. A lot of times, if we ain't careful, we come into God's house and that first song Brother Robert sang, we don't know what none of us are dealing with. You know, Brother Robert cutting up about the chili, that's the first time some of y'all laughed all day. And that's sad. This is God's house. Come in, we can come in, laugh, smile, have a good time. Amen. That's what it's all about. We're around family and friends. Amen. We ought to be able to come in and smile a little bit. Because that last song he sung is true. It's coming. Revelation 11, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. And they were given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against him, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And as they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them, and the same hour was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for laughter. Thank you, God, for smiling, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, as we get into your word, God, that you would just help it to be real to us. God, help us to realize that these things that I am preaching about tonight, God, are future events that will come shortly to pass. God, have your hand on us right now, God. Move me out of the way, Lord, and let all praise and all glory go to Jesus. And we'll make sure, Lord, that you get it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Two facts need to be kept in mind as we study through this book of Revelation, especially this book. We are talking about Jewish ground here. The images and the words used in these few verses are Jewish in nature. We are dealing with events related to the future. The book of Revelation deals with future events. Any other interpretation of this is a fallacy, and you get everything just kind of boogered up. Verse 1 and 2, we discover that a new Jewish temple will be built in Jerusalem. They are planning that as we speak. Amen. Do not fool yourself. Amen. This is in the plans. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we already know in Texas they had bred pure red heifers, and they've got them in Jerusalem now. All this is working out. We used to read the Bible and say, I wonder how that's going to happen. I wonder how this is going to happen. All this is happening now. It's almost like when we open up the Bible now, it's almost like watching Fox News, and they're just telling us everything that's going to happen. The Jews are going to consecrate a priesthood. They will offer animal sacrifices as prescribed by the law of Moses. They will worship God under the old covenant, not recognizing and not giving a credence that Jesus Christ died for everybody's sin. He is the perfect sacrifice. There's no more need for animal sacrifices. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Amen. So all of what I am preaching about tonight is happening in the future. The temple has already been rebuilt. We read in verse 1 and 2 that the angel gives a reed to measure the temple. It tells about the outer court, the inner court. It tells about what they're doing. All this is happening in the future. So the next vision we are given in the passage of Scripture is the two witnesses. That's what I want to preach about tonight. The two witnesses from Revelation. It's coming. It's coming. Let's get into these two witnesses. Verse 3 for verse 7 talks about the ministry of these two witnesses. Their ministry is a designed ministry. These two men have a special purpose. They are called witnesses. The word witness here is where we get our English word martyr. You got to understand something. The word originally referred to someone who gave testimony or someone who gave a witness. However, over the years, so many Christians have given their life for God and died in the cause for God that they have taken that word to, and what we use as martyr, and that's the word we come up with today. And we understand what when we say somebody has been martyred for the cause of Christ, they have been killed. We know they laid down their life for the cause of Christ. Now these two men, they're not only going to be witnesses, but as we're going to discover as we get into this, they're going to be martyred for Christ. They have come to witness to the truth of God. They have come to preach, to prophesy the truth of God. Now I want you to notice just a few things about them. They are sent as a team. God always has his witnesses. Amen. Even in the midst of the tribulation period, even in the midst of all the trouble that we've been preaching about, all the trouble that we've been studying about, God still got a witness trying to get somebody to come to him. In the dark days of idolatry in Israel, God had the prophet Elijah. Elijah got down, and he got into mully grubs because Jezebel was threatening to kill him, and he cried out to God. He said, I'm the only one left. God said, I got 7,000 that ain't never bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. God's always got somebody. Amen. When you study the Bible, God always got a team of witnesses. You have Moses and Aaron. You have Joshua and Caleb. You got Paul and Silas. Amen. God sends out two witnesses. Now understand something. You got to go back to the Old Testament to understand why God does this. He wants the truth to be established. The law stipulated that matters had to be established by two or more witnesses. In other words, if one person witnessed it, that wasn't going to be enough. We weren't going to take just the word of one man. There had to be two witnesses. And you study this in Deuteronomy chapter 19. And also Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 18. So God sends out two witnesses to establish his truth. They are sent to prophesy. That word prophesy right there basically means to preach. I'm going to go ahead and interject something right here. In the New Testament, you got all these people on TV claiming to be prophets. They're not prophets. All that was done away with when God gave us his perfect word. Amen. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. The Bible says if somebody prophesies something to you, Brother Robert, and it don't come to pass, stone them. All these here guys that claim to be prophets, they several of them that claimed that they prophesied that Trump was going to go back into office, Where's them idiots now? I'm just telling you, there's no such thing as a modern-day prophet. We got the perfect word of God. We don't need nobody to tell us what's going to happen. Amen? So they are sent to preach. Now, what are they going to preach? We have no idea. No doubt they'll preach the kingdom. But as I was studying today and thinking about this, we know from reading this scripture, Jackie, that a new temple has been built. And we know from reading this scripture that these two men are going to upset the apple cart. Amen. I'm talking about you. You think I preach hard? You just wait. You better hope you ain't here. Amen. You think I preach hard? I was thinking about it, Brother Ralph. Maybe they'll stand outside the temple and proclaim that Jesus Christ was the darling Son of God. Maybe they'll stand outside the temple as the priests are sacrificing these animals and laugh at them and say, listen, you're wasting your time. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Maybe they'll preach this kind of message in Jerusalem. We know they're going to be preaching in Jerusalem. They're going to whatever it is, they're going to preach a message that people hate. The Bible says they'll be clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth is a symbol of mourning. You got to understand something. These men will not come with a message of peace and comfort. They're going to come with a message of destruction. Amen. They are basically in mourning because of the wrath of God that's going to fall, and they're preaching this. Nobody likes preaching that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. I don't like it when the Lord tells me to preach on hell. I don't like it when the Lord tells me to preach on judgment. He'd rather come into the church and just preach on joy and happiness and everything's going to be rosy. But sometimes you got to preach what God tells you to preach. And these guys are clothed in sackcloth. They're clothed in mourning. Their ministry will last for 3.5 years. Now, we can't be sure when their ministry is going to start, but we know how long it's going to be there. They are described as olive trees in a candlestick. This is symbolic of God's hand on their ministry. The olive tree is a source of olive oil, and that's always a type of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the olive tree, that's going to be the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that's working through them. The candlestick is basically what they're going to be doing. They're going to be trying to bring a light to a lost and a dark world. How their ministry is defended. These two men are going to be extremely unpopular. Now, I know I cut up a lot when I'm preaching. Not necessarily cut up. I say things that's kind of funny every once in a while. And I know I've said things to people, you know, something just kind of off the cuff about, you know, some people make me mad, and I know we can't slap them. Somebody better say amen right there, because I hope y'all ain't going around slapping people. These two men, when you say something against them, they'll kill you. I'm telling you, you think I'm tough. The Bible says... Now, this could be symbolic. Benji, I kind of see this being symbolic. I don't think that they're going to breathe fire out of their mouth and kill people, but the Bible, that's what the Bible says. I'm not saying it's not going to be, it could be, but I'm just, you know, I just kind of realized that maybe they're calling down fire from heaven, you know, and you got to understand something. When we talk about these prophets, and we'll get into it in a little bit, Elijah called fire down from heaven. Amen? Elijah called fire down from heaven. Elisha called fire down from heaven and wiped out like 175 to 250 army men. So you mess with these guys, and they'll just go ahead and bust your head. They're going to defend their ministry, how their ministry is described. These two men will be able to do miraculous miracles. And what this does, this is all, I want to go back, and let me just say this. What this does, this authenticates their ministry. when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, he told them, said, they come back, they were rejoicing, talking about how they laid hands on people and they were healed and they cast out devils. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in all that. Just rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it authenticated their ministry. When Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, that authenticated that he was God. And what these guys are going to be, the Bible says they'll be able to do it at will. They'll be able to call locusts at will. They'll be able to turn water into blood at will. They'll be able to call down the plagues from heaven at will. Now, let me just kind of do a little sidetrack. And this is the question that I know everybody wants to know. Y'all ready for my educated answer on who these guys going to be? I don't know. Hallelujah. The Bible don't say. I mean, we can give a guess. I mean, and that's all it is a guess. That's all it is. But we can, as we read this, some people think Moses and Elijah. And I'll be honest with you, that's kind of the way I lean. I'm not sure, but we understand. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 does say this. Now listen, Malachi 4, verse 5, some of y'all might want to write this down. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Wow. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So I think Elijah is definitely, Brother Barry, going to be one. I don't know. This is my educated guess. We got to understand something. Elijah never died. Amen. The Bible talked about, we know the Bible said a fiery chariot come down, picked him up, took him on off to heaven. Amen. He was gone. He never died. And the Bible does say it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. So I think that Elijah could be one. And when you look at these miracles they're going to be able to do, Elijah did those. Elijah stopped rain in 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says that these two prophets will be able to stop the rain. That's pretty good track record for Elijah being one. I'm not saying he is definitely. I'm just saying he could be. Now, as for Moses, he is mentioned in Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, just before Elijah is mentioned in verse 5. The miracles performed by these two are replicate the miracles that Moses was able to do on the plagues of Egypt. And we understand from studying the Bible that Moses and Elijah was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured and Peter and James and John saw them. So it could be Elijah and Moses. But now some people said it could be Enoch, because we know that Enoch never died. The Bible tells us that. And Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. We know that. But we don't know who these two. What really matters is they coming. I don't know what their name's going to be, but I know what they're going to be doing. Amen. So let's get hung up on who they are. It really don't matter who they are. What matters is what they're going to be preaching. Let me just take a side note right here. Take a time out from this. It really don't matter if Preacher Tim ain't in the pulpit. If David and Chucky is filling the pulpit, you need to be here. It really don't matter if Preacher Tim's not here. Hey, Preacher Tim did not save you. Preacher Tim cannot help you. I'm telling you right now, we come to church for Jesus. We come to church to lift him up. And I guarantee you, anybody that I ask to fill this pulpit, they're going to be lifting up Jesus. They're going to be bringing it from the Word of God. Amen. So don't worry about who the prophet is. Worry about coming in here and the message that the prophet's going to be bringing, amen? Now let's look at that's the ministry of the two witnesses. Let's look at the massacre of the two witnesses. Verse 7 gives us the reason that they're going to be killed. When they finish their appointed ministry, now let me just say, understand this. When they get through preaching what God tells them to preach, the Bible says that the angel from the bottomless pit, which we the Antichrist, and we'll get into more of that next week and the week after that, the Antichrist will be able to destroy them or to kill them. But now you got to understand something, one thing. Until that moment, they are protected by the hand of God. Until that moment, there ain't enough devils in hell that can come against them. Until that moment, Satan himself could come down, and he will not be able to hurt them. And you got to understand something. When you're in God's will, amen, you got to understand, when you're in God's will, God's hand of protection is on you. And nobody can touch you. No devil can touch you. Nobody can come against you unless God allows it. Somebody ought to shout right there. Because I'm telling you right now, if the devil had his way, he'd kill all of us. One other little side note, too. God's the one in charge of death, not Satan. God is appointed unto man once to die. That's an appointment we'll all keep. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. So that's the reason that these two guys are going to be killed. Now let's look at the reaction to their deaths. The bodies of these men are going to be left in the street right where they were killed. They're going to lay in Jerusalem. Nobody will even attempt to bury them. Nobody will even attempt to remove their bodies. Verse 9 tells us that the whole world will be able to see them. And I just mentioned this just a few weeks ago. I remember as a young boy, 9, 10 years old, hearing preachers preach this passage of Scripture and thinking, Brother Robert, how in the world can the whole world see somebody? For some of y'all youngsters, that's back when we had 3 TV stations. And at midnight, they went off the air. Da, 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 da. And after that, white noise. That was prior to everybody having everything at your hand, your fingertips. That's when the news happened today and they reported it tomorrow. But now we got satellites. You can go turn your TV on now and know exactly what's going on in Jerusalem as it happens. Amen. So now we know how that the Bible says that the whole world will be able to see these two men. And the thing about it is, when this happens, the whole world's going to act like it's Christmas time. The Bible says they're going to be sending gifts back and forth. They're going to be celebrating that two men of God have been killed. These two men drove the people crazy. And Satan killed them. See, the problem is, even in the future, they're not going to want to hear the truth. Just like it is right now. People don't want to hear the truth. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we all know what this passage of Scripture says. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away for their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fable. This world hates preaching. This world hates Jesus Christ exalted preaching. Oh, you can preach on love, and you can preach on Valentine's Day, and you can preach on how everything's going to be all right. But don't tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Don't tell them that there is a way, there's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Don't tell them that homosexuality is a sin. Don't tell them that shacking up's wrong. Don't tell them that the Bible condemns sin. You can't tell that now, but you can preach all this other stuff, and everybody be all right. I saw something the other day, and I'm not knocking nobody. Don't you go out here and tell nobody that Preacher Tim knocked nobody, okay? Amen. Somebody claims to be Christian, and they lift up Jesus, praise the Lord. I believe some ESPN even ran this, Brother Robert. Why is Steph Curry praised for his religion and Tim Tebow was hated? Think about what I'm saying now. They crucified Tim Tebow. I mean, they beat that young man to death. Steph Curry talks about Jesus all the time. Steph Curry writes Bible verses on his shoes. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But the only thing, the problem was that Tim Tebow actually called out sin. Tim Tebow told him that Jesus was the only way. Tim Tebow had enough backbone to go out and do what the Bible says do. And I'm not knocking Steph Curry. Praise the, I praise the Lord that he lifts up Jesus. But let me tell you something. Anybody can lift up Jesus, but it takes a whole nother way to live for Jesus. But the Bible tells us that these men are going to be hated. They're going to be killed, and the whole world are going to rejoice when these guys die. So you got the ministry of the two witnesses, the massacre of the two witnesses, and my last point is this, the miracle of these two witnesses. Verse 11 talks about the miracle of their awakening. The bodies of these men are going to lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And I'm telling you right now, for 3.5 days, it's going to be a party. They're going to send gifts back and forth. Don't you know they're going to be on TV talking about it? How that these men that persecuted the priests, these men that preached against the temple, these men that talked about it, they're dead and gone. But God's going to say, wake up. And the party's over. That's what the Bible says, amen. You got to understand something. I wonder what they're going to think when these two men stand up. I don't know. I just kind of, Brother Ralph, I just kind of get a picture in my mind. You know, sometimes you put a camera on something so everybody can see it and the whole world might can see it. And maybe they got cameras put on these two men and everybody's having a party. And this one's having a party and that one's having a party. And all you got to do is turn on to a certain channel on your TV and there they lay. They're still there. They've been there for 3 days. Let's go ahead and have another party. And all of a sudden somebody says, hey, y'all might want to watch this. And they stood up. Glory to God. I wonder what they don't think then. But that's the miracle of their awakening. And then you got the miracle of their ascension. Then while the whole world's watching this, God is going to reenact the rapture. These two guys are just going to take off. And the Bible says that everybody that remains was basically going to be scared to death. The Bible said they'll be affrighted. Now, right after this happens, let me go ahead and tell you something. Listen real good to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Reject God, and the wrath's going to come. I've heard stories over the years of people that rejected God in a service and got killed when they left the church. I mean, story after story after story. When you reject God and you reject His Son and you reject the preaching of God's Word, notice what happened. An earthquake hit the city. A great earthquake hit the city. Now, this is talking about Jerusalem. That's where this is talking about. And the Bible said, Jackie, that a tenth part of the city fell. That's a pretty devastating earthquake. And 7,000 people died because they rejected God, they rejected His message, and they rejected His preachers. Folks, let me tell you something. I know without a doubt that this is true. And I know this is going to happen. And the thing about it is, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm concerned for people, but I'm not concerned for me because I ain't going to be here. The question is, will you? Are you saved? Are you saved?